Welcome back to the Padre Island Podcast here, a spring break version, perhaps, of listening to this together. We're ready for the fourth Sunday of Lent, March 15th, 2026. Passage is John chapter 9, the whole chapter, verses 1 through 41. At least if the priest that you heard is doing the long version, that's what we're doing here. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered him, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord." And he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So there we have it. John chapter 9. And it's a beautiful story of healing. Not just a man that's blind, but a man that's born blind. So his entire life has been in darkness. He doesn't know what it feels like to see. So it's not as if he lost it and now Jesus helps him regain it. Jesus is doing something he never had. And there's something there for us to linger with that makes this miracle extra special. And for those who are there, either ecstatic that this happened or disbelief. Who is this man? What just happened? Do we even have the right guy? These questions. Why would he heal on the Sabbath? There we go again. That Sabbath thing. They just seem to find something to be suspicious about. Why is making clay with your saliva considered a violation of the Sabbath day? I mean, come on. Really? Are we that tightly strung? So I get it. Can't eat meat on Fridays. No steak. No bacon. You know, but I mean, the Sabbath rest and being strict on that, I don't know how that would compare to other laws, but gosh, it just seems like they're blowing the whistle on Jesus all the time. Even when he does something miraculous. Especially at that time, it seems so inconceivable. Okay, well, just that's not really the main point of the gospel, but it's something that sticks with me at least. So let's walk through this a little bit. It's multiple paragraphs. Let me count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 paragraphs. So just from my own reflection here, paragraph 1 introduces the situation, going from Jesus encountering this person to the man receiving healing. All that happens in paragraph 1. Paragraph 2 is people asking, "Is this the right guy?" And, "Where is the one that healed you?" Answer, "I don't know." Paragraph 3, this is where the Pharisees get to question the guy. Paragraph 4, Pharisees question the parents of the man who used to be blind. It keeps saying the blind man or the man who was blind. It doesn't give his name. And sometimes when it does that, it gives us a chance to more easily step into that role. What would that be like to be healed? And then this aftermath of what happens. That's where this story becomes so unique. So paragraph 4 is the parents who pretty much dodge everything, except that they affirm, "Yeah, this is our son. He's been blind his whole life." And whatever else they say really doesn't contribute at all. Paragraph 5, this is the follow-up with the man born blind and the conversation with the religious leaders. By the end of that paragraph, he is thrown out. Paragraph 6, Jesus encounters the man again. Do you believe? Do you believe in the Son of Man? And by the end of the paragraph, the blind man worships Jesus. Paragraph 7, the Pharisees wonder, are we blind too? And the answer is basically, yes. Okay, now that we've done an overview, I don't have any commentary to read today, just because when there's such a long gospel, I don't feel the need to really dig into that. I think much of this kind of makes it pretty clear already. So my comments are from the heart, just offering something. So before we go into this in a little bit more detail, let's say that you're a married person and you come to Mass or you listen to this gospel and you wonder, what does this have to do with me? What does this have to do with relationships and connections and the building blocks of what marriage is all about? Well, I would venture to say that there's times in your life that you are in desperate need of healing. Maybe for yourself or for a family member, you cry out to God for a miracle. Cry out to Him for protection, for health, for happiness. That's a natural desire we have. That's what we're made for. And the fact the parents were called, that reminds us of times when maybe you go to parent-teacher conferences, and then you get to see, hey, what's the status of my kid's academic progress? What are things he or she's doing well? What ways can we help guide them, help work together to support them, to meet their goals? Or we might think about times when there's a permanent disability where someone isn't able to do something ever, and what Jesus does with that, and our longing for wholeness, to fully use our senses. You know, that's such a gift. It's more than what money could buy. It's not just making things a little better. It's bringing life where there was so many challenges. It's bringing light where there was darkness, literally. Imagine how much easier it would be to function in society, to be able to see, especially back then. I mean, did they do anything? Did they have Braille back then? I'm sure they did not. And did a family member really take care of the people, or were they just left to be a beggar, like this man seemed to have been? Okay, let's say you're divorced and you listen to this gospel, and you've been through so much in your own story. You're trying to make sense of the definition of marriage, and here comes Jesus, the Son of Man, more than a prophet, the one who heals. And if he's in that business of healing and restoration, then maybe that's exactly what you need on the other side of a permanent separation. Knowing we can't change the past, but there's something in our story of where God is going to intervene and bring about something new. Bring about a new chapter. Open things up for us. And equip us when we are kicked out. Maybe that's something to relate to divorce. When this blind man was kicked out of where the religious leaders were, when they threw him out, they excluded him. He experienced a little bit of what his parents were afraid of. And that didn't destroy him. He's still able to talk. Jesus comes to right where he is. And by the end, there's worship. And maybe that's something in your life. At a certain stage, having experienced a setback, we recognize Jesus, who comes to us where we are, and we offer him praise and worship. And there's something powerful about that decision. Even when things are not polished or far from it, that we're choosing to show up for those we love. And if we can't, with someone that was a previous spouse, we can show up for the maker of all things, God Himself, the one who sent us Jesus and loved us so much that those who believe in him might have eternal life. So maybe this man had a ways to go to fully believe in Jesus, but one thing he does know, he used to be blind and now he sees. How it happened? Well, clay washing in a pool of Siloam. How do you know where it was, by the way? But he figured it out and he follows instructions. He obeys. Next thing he knows it, he's been healed. All right, let's walk through this one more time with these things in mind, hoping that this gospel can come alive for you as you seek deeper healing in your own vocation and your own particular position. So his disciples wondered about this guy. Okay, Lord, he's blind from birth. What a terrible cross to carry. This disability, it's not as if he just ran out of money and if only he had a good doctor. No, it's a hopeless situation, or at least it seems like it. Who sinned, him or his parents? Answer, neither. That's not how it works. The reason that bad things happen to people that don't bring it upon themselves is much more complex than guilt. And I think we know that intuitively. You know, in this case, the reason was so that the works of God would be made visible through him. So that gives us a glimpse on one reason why bad things happen to good people. Or bad things happen to people who aren't bad. Well, God is going to work. And we're going to see that. And he allows that for some reason. Again, that's not the only answer. But it gives us a start. Gives us a little glimpse on divine wisdom. So, Jesus just proceeds to heal him. He doesn't ask to be healed. Notice that. Let's see. While I am the light of the world. Let's see. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So there's not really any direct indication of conversation before the guy was healed. It's as if Jesus walks up to him and just starts doing his thing. And I bet the man is thinking, what are you doing? But he trusted. After all, what he's got to lose. I guess if it didn't work, he would look really funny with clay on his eyes walking towards this pool. But it did work because it's Jesus. No matter what the day of the week is, even if he gets some heat for healing the man on a Sabbath, that's exactly what he did. He washed in that pool and is able to see. So his neighbors wonder, is this the guy? Yes, it is. They ask him. He knew his name was Jesus, the guy who healed him, but they say, well, where is he? He says, well, I don't know. So he knew where he was when he was putting clay on his eyes, but once they separated from there, he didn't know exactly which way he went. And that's understandable. You know, he didn't know if he'd run into him again. He didn't know what he looked like because he used to be blind. You ever think about that? But he knew his name, so that was good information. So then the Pharisees question him. There's this interrogation. And by the end of that paragraph, he is a prophet. So there's a little bit of faith there to proclaim that truth. That's a start in terms of who Jesus is. Then his parents come in and they're pretty much cowards. Or maybe I would have been there in that situation too. Like, why would we disclose more information than necessary? They don't want to be expelled from the synagogue. Then what would they do? They don't want to deal with that kind of social pressure, that kind of estrangement. And when it says estranged or expelled from the synagogue, would that be temporary or permanent? You know, if it's permanent, I guess that would be their equivalent of excommunication. And that would be disproportionate. But, you know, this is how crazy some of these religious leaders were. if anyone acknowledged Jesus as the Christ or even hinted at it, they were ready to pounce and impose severe consequences. So they're trying to sneak around and avoid that. Because how do you reason with a maniac, you know? So then, the next paragraph again, it's follow-up between the religious leaders and the blind man who used to be blind. And the blind man kind of pushes back on them a little bit. And, you know, that didn't go well. They react to that. So they throw him out. You're trying to teach us? How dare you? You just feel the arrogance there. And then Jesus finds him. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who are you talking about? And then Jesus discloses, it is he, the one speaking with you. Similar to last Sunday with the woman at the well. The Messiah, the Christ, I am he, the one speaking to you. The one speaking with you. So then, by the end of that paragraph, he worships Jesus. The man who used to be blind worships Jesus. It's an act of thanksgiving, an act of praise. And Jesus doesn't stop him. I like that. He allows this moment to happen at that man's pace, for him to express himself in that way at that time. And then a little bit about blindness versus sight, and thinking about the larger perspective about religious leaders who are blind to who Jesus really is. And how important it is to not be in error and to be forgiven of our sins and to stay accountable and truthful. Those are the themes that this gospel is meant, one of the themes that this gospel evokes for us. All right, I think we'll leave it there. Like I said, I didn't have a commentary. We walked through it a little bit. We mentioned marriage and divorce. We walked through it one more time. Seems thorough enough. Hopefully that offered something for your spiritual reflection. Hopefully that resonates with your heart. Hopefully that follows up on what the priest talked about at Mass, or helps you prepare for going to Mass, as well as being some material to deepen our faith here in this season of Lent, a time of purification, that we might be open to what the Lord is doing, and that we might understand the opportunity to go and worship him, knowing who he is and responding in that proper way. I'm Father Peter O'Donnell, a priest in Abilene, Chapman, and Junction City, Kansas. Thank you for listening today. May God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.